Exodus 8, 4 to 6. But the important thing to know about the phrase, "they will know I am the Lord," it's God announcing something that God intends to do, that he wants us to pay attention to, or by the act of doing something, you will know that God is responsible. Because sometimes God has to do things when we don't pay attention to him. So, for example, when we sang the hymn this morning, "All Heaven Declares the Glory of God," in the book of Romans, it says that the creation is there to let you know that God actually exists and is real. It's an act of God. But in the book of Ezekiel, God's people were continually disobeying him. And the prophet Ezekiel was writing during a time of exile when the people of Israel had been taken into captivity. And rather like God performing the acts that he performed in front of Pharaoh, not only did Pharaoh know that God was God, but by the miracles that God performed, the people of Israel also knew that God was God. So when God says at the end of something, at the end of a statement, "they shall know that I am the Lord," it's there for many, many purposes. It's there for us to pay attention to, because it's good for us to pay attention to the Lord's words. It's also good for us to obey him. And when Jesus came, he underscored all of that. Now, I'd like us to look at a passage from John's Gospel. There are a few key parts to it, but we'll begin in chapter 1. Of the Gospel of John, and he introduces the Lord Jesus Christ to his readers in verse 1 by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And our pastor has been taking us through Luke, and part of the point of the sermons has been to pay attention to what Luke was establishing that proved beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ, the man, was also the Son of God, the very God. He was with God in the beginning, and he pre-existed before all things were made. He is the Eternal One. And at different points in the New Testament and the Old, we are told through the scriptures that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's difficult for us to consider things like that, but if you'd perhaps been Adam and been an eyewitness to the very beginnings of creation and known God, if that had been me, and I'm only speculating, but how on earth could you forget who God is? But by the time sin had entered the world, as you go through just the opening chapters of the book of Genesis, the fall of man, the consequence of sin, was to plunge you into everlasting spiritual darkness. It wasn't just the consequences of sin and the earth being cursed and the earth changing the way that God had intended it to be. But the life of man was dark. It had been alienated from God himself. And the fellowship that God had intended man to have with God had been lost. And only the Holy Spirit can open your spiritual eyes so that you begin to know who God is. And God has decided that he would reveal himself, God the Father, through God the Son. So let's go to a passage where the Lord Jesus was praying to his Father. It's in chapter 17, and it's often referred to as the high priestly prayer. But you'll remember it as the time when Jesus was about to be arrested by the soldiers of the high priest. He'd just been betrayed by Judas. So if we go to verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to his Father and he's on his own. The disciples are sleepy and resting, and Jesus is about to go to the cross, to his death. And he says of his disciples, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." And Jesus prays for the disciples. And towards the end of his prayer, he says in verse 24, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me before you loved me, before the foundation of the world." He was saying quite clearly, "I'm going to you and I will come into the glory that I had before I made the world." His divinity is without doubt. But the bit that's really important is here, the bit that ties with the theme of the sermon. "O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name and will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." And not only are we coming face to face with the Holy Trinity, we're realizing there that God the Son is speaking to God the Father, and through God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, if you do trust in Jesus Christ as a Saviour, you will be restored into relationship with God. But that phrase, "they shall know that they will know that I am the Lord," it's difficult to know somebody well. In human terms, it takes time to get to know somebody's personality, their ways, their annoying habits. Feel free to ask about mine. Sharon's probably got a little list. I shall keep Gloria's secret. But it's true, isn't it? You can't get to know somebody in 5 minutes flat. There's a ridiculous TV show, apparently, where two strangers get married and then you get to know each other afterwards, but that seems crazy to me. But to get to know God, you have to first of all have God calling you. The Bible says quite clearly that the Father he knows in advance who his children will be. But to actually get to know him, we are dependent on God even for that. And the Holy Spirit begins to open your eyes through the preaching of the Word of God. And the Word of God, as we read just now at the start of John's Gospel, is Jesus Christ himself. He is known as the Word. The Lord God lives, and his Word is eternal. His Word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. God's Word penetrates into the heart of man. God's Word can be ignored by man as well. If you ignore God's Word, like Adam did, and you disobey God, eventually you'll probably find out through the consequences of sin that you have suffered. The Bible says quite clearly, it doesn't mince its words, the wages of sin is death. But it's not just a physical death, it's a spiritual death as well. And in darkness, if you've ever experienced a power cut, it's quite tricky finding your way around, isn't it? You know, one way of doing it is by bumping into low ceiling beams or the door frame that you knew was there, but all of a sudden it's been hiding and it collides with your elbow or something. And you've kind of learnt the hard way what's real, really there. You've discovered reality by tripping over it. But with the Lord God, he has a set of laws that he has established in the life of mankind. He has quite clearly, in his eternal wisdom, told us what is right and what is wrong, what is good for you and what is bad. And unfortunately, the Bible tells us that mankind fell out of fellowship by disobeying God. The good news is that Jesus Christ has come to undo the consequences of sin. The Bible tells us that sin alienates you from God. That basically means you cannot have fellowship with God. Why? Because God is holy. That means that he cannot abide, he cannot live, he will not endure, he will not look upon sin. Sin has to go. It has to be out of God's presence. It will not be allowed in God's presence. If a sinful person went near a holy God, they would be destroyed. If a sinful person dies without the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice being recognized, if a person dies without making the Lord Jesus Christ their saviour, they'll be alienated from God forever in a place that the Bible describes as hell. It's not something that many churches these days talk about, but that is the truth of the Word of God. And it would be a disservice to anybody in a church to not be told what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said about sin. He went around saying, repent, the kingdom of God is here. Now, over the last few weeks, our pastor has been very, very carefully examining the Lord Jesus Christ's credentials to be who he said he was. And he has been showing us through these sermons how Jesus Christ was able to do what he said he was going to do. And we all know the very famous verses from John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him will have life eternal. But it goes on later, just a few verses, to say, if you happen to not have the son, you won't have that life. Now, Jesus Christ is able to control creation because he made creation. He's able to heal those that are sick because he's the one that actually created our bodies. He's able to heal. He's able to raise the dead because God is able to create life. Nobody else can do that in the world, only God. And God, by his Spirit, reveals to us the Son. And as Paul has been showing us in the studies in Luke, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, is able to do those things precisely because he is God. To have power over creation is one thing, but to be able to break the power and the hold that sin has over us is another thing again. For those of you who don't know much about my past, one of the jobs I did for 15 years was as a teacher in something called a secure unit. And that's a place where teenagers from the age of 12 to just under 18 are sentenced by courts if they've committed crimes that are worthy of a prison sentence, but they're not old enough yet to go into the adult population. And, you know, obviously you're very aware that Callum, one of our church members, works in the local prison. In fact, I bumped into him this morning when I came down to put the heating on. He was on his way in for a shift. But I was reading in my Bible this morning, I read a short essay that really captured the essence of the gospel. And the writer was explaining how Jesus was able to save us from sin by paying the penalty that God's law demanded. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever received let's call it a punishment from the law, but it might be something like a parking ticket, for example, a parking fine or something like that, or you've lost your ticket on a bus and the inspector gets on and find you a fiver or something like that. But you can't have the law powered over you. You can't have the law enacted if you haven't done something that means the law can be used in its fullness. So, for example, if you haven't thrown litter and been caught in the act, you're not going to be able to be charged with littering. If you've not gone past, Marks and Spencer's and thrown a brick through the window and been caught on camera and charged guilty, nobody can charge you with criminal damage. But if you have done something under the law, then you are bound by the law. And that word bound, if you think of it in terms of a rope, if you bind somebody's hands with a rope, or you're bound by the requirements or demands of a particular contract, then you have to fulfill it, don't you? Most of us have probably had a contract of employment, for example, at some point, and somebody says, well, if you turn up and do 40 hours work, I will give you not quite enough pay to live on, and it won't cover the cost of your gas and electric, but you're entitled to that because you have earned it. Vice versa, in the gospel, in the Bible, we have earned, unfortunately, the penalty of sin, which God says is death. Now, Jesus, when he was crucified on the cross, he bore the penalty of sin. He fulfilled the demands of the law because he was the innocent Lamb of God. So the penalty of the law couldn't be applied to him in one sense, but he took our sins onto his shoulders, so to speak. Onto him, God the Father laid all the sin and judged all the sin on the Son. And the Son's life was given freely for us, so that if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And you then, because your sin has been dealt with by the Lamb of God, you're no longer under the law's penalty. So Christ on the cross broke the power of sin, because what was binding you to eternal hell has been removed. The blood of the Lamb has washed you clean of all the stain of sin. But not only that, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, it was Satan who deceived, Satan who lied, and Satan who was one of the causes of the fall of Adam. And Satan is described as the ruler of the world in the scriptures. We read earlier that Christ came into the world, but the world knew him not. And Jesus prayed that high priestly prayer, "They are not of the world as I am not of the world. Keep them in your protection." And God does. Nobody can take you out of the hands of God. And I know sometimes Christians struggle with the thought of, can I lose my salvation? But the answer is no, because who in the universe has got the power to undo the hand of God? The answer obviously is nobody. And God is never going to cast you out if you have put your trust in the Son. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God was able to deliver his people from sin. And to go back to that phrase, "They will know that I am the Lord," it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord. It is a priceless thing to know the Lord. In fact, it cost the Lord his own life to allow us the privilege to know him. But we are God's children. When God made the world, he made a judgment on the world before Adam fell. And God's judgment was, "What I have done is very good." And it was precious to God. Go to John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The world and the people that God made are precious to him. He's never sat back idle and done nothing to try and make the situation that the fall led to without providing a remedy. God provided the Son. God knew before the creation of the world what was going to happen, but he made us to be an independent people. Choose to live by God's ways or not. But God chose to provide us a saviour. God cares about us. We're going to come to the supper, the Last Supper, in a moment, where we remember all that the Lord did. So it's important to